Yo, E.
What's up?
You got balls?
No.
You got balls?
No.
You got balls?
I have nothing to say. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey.
Please stop it. Hey. I'm going to quit.
Hey, this is what happens when you start a show.
No, I don't have
with a Jose shot.
Oh, my God.
You get turned up quick. Shout out to Jose. All right. Welcome, everybody. Sorry we late. Charge it to the host, TK the Kid, showing up late, running into all sorts of technical difficulties. But thank you to E-Day and Retta for being on time, waiting on me to come into the studio. So here we are, Come Union, where cousins come together to have candid conversations and discussing all kinds of things in the bond and the blood. So yes, we got E-Day here. We got Retta here. Ayana is still out of the studio, but our prayers are with her. So we're going to get right into it. Kapar talking about, hey, Jose. So we're going to start off. We're going to start off with our affirmation as always. So,
yes. All
Ebony,
right.
Let's get into it. Oh, you got it memorized.
I mean, I feel like we should all have it memorized.
I'm just saying. But we repeat after you. So
well,
we
I feel like we should all be trying to say together soon.
That's what you said?
Okay.
Soon? So
today,
next week.
Today is soon.
Today,
so
today
we
is
need
today?
It on the monitor.
Okay,
no,
okay, come
where's
on,
the
y'all.
Monitor?
Okay.
Oh, I mean, I got it, but I can't flip out.
Okay, so.
I'm going to put it right here.
If we use hand motions, it'll help us.
It'll help.
All right?
So, I'm going to repeat after y'all.
I have a healthy heart, body, soul, and mind.
I have a healthy heart, body, soul, and mind.
I am full.
I am full
of positive and
of
nourishing,
positive
thoughts.
And nourishing,
and nourishing thoughts.
Communion
is where I come
to unite.
Yeah.
To unite
with
those
around
me.
Got it.
How you getting there?
Got it.
I am grounded.
I am grounded
and present in this
present
experience.
In this experience.
I am what?
Here.
I am here.
And I am whole.
Come on.
My favorite two lines.
You got it. Yes.
Favorite two lines.
Here we go.
And you know what? I feel like I walk around and saying that to myself all the time, but just not in that order.
Yeah.
We're going to be ready. Next week, ready?
Yes.
We got it down? All right.
We got it down.
We got it down. We are here, and we are whole.
That's it.
All right. So today, since we running behind, we're going to get right into it. So I hit my cousins up earlier and was like, yo, let's talk about black women being martyrs for their family, friends, potentially in relationships, work. For the culture, whatever it is. So that's kind of what we're going to discuss today. We were actually pulling up the definition so that we could define it for our audience and make sure that everybody understands what we're talking about. Seems to be that Retta does not want to read the definition, she passed it over to me, but I'm going to slide it back over to her because I'm the bartender and the hostess with the mostest. So she's going to read the definition, and then we're going to crank right into what we think about that topic. So stay tuned.
All right, very good. A martyr is someone who suffers persecution and death for advocating, renouncing, refusing to renounce, or refusing to advocate a religious belief or cause as demanded by an external party. Is that good?
Yeah,
that's
what it says.
One definition.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically.
And
it.
What's the short version? What's this one right here?
Right, the short.
Because this is the one that Ebony liked, and I feel like that's why she can't connect to it. So we're gonna dig into that.
No, I don't
quick.
Like it. I think that's the one I just saw. I didn't see that.
The one you just said.
Like
the Jose got you sweating.
No, the room got me sweating. The high flash.
The high flash got you sweating.
So basically, in a nutshell, the short version: a person who is killed because of their religious or other beliefs.
All right, so killed because of their beliefs, right?
Right.
Things that they care about, in essence. You know what I mean? To me, that's like a simplified version of going in depth, because it's not always about religious beliefs. I feel like women, you know, they be martyrs in relationships, laying themselves down. I think it's just the idea
that
women are constantly in a position where they're laying themselves down for everything that they care about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When I think about people being killed, I think death is a matter of separation and just really about suffering. Like you said, mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be literal. You know, it could be figurative. How many times have you lost yourself, you know what I'm saying, which is almost like a death in itself, you know what I mean, in the situations and scenarios you've been in. So having brought the definition to the table and trying to put that in context, what's some of your thoughts around it, E?
No,
I come to you first because I come to you first. That's how we do it.
You get something in the bag.
You get us going.
Yes.
You get us started up. You're the teacher.
Right.
Bringing that teacher energy.
Oh, my God.
That's what you said. We wrote it down, and you bring the teacher energy.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my Lord.
So, yeah. So, when you said that we were going to talk about that or talk about this, I went and I...
Did what teachers do. Did
looked
some
up
research.
The definition mm-hmm. as well.
Yep.
And I didn't see the one that you said. Talked about mm-hmm. suffering and persecution. Mm-hmm. And I think right. those two words...
Bring
are,
it home.
Are sticking out to me right now.
Right.
Okay. And I think that sometimes being a woman, we just suffer anyway.
Yep.
Yes. You know, in the workplace, we're not... you know, we're not getting paid the amount
right.
that our our male counterparts mm-hmm. are. We're not respected in leadership roles.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, practically laughed at when asked, you know, to be held on the same standard as our male counterparts
right.
at times.
Mm-hmm. When being asked also to do twice as much work.
Oh yeah,
twice
right.
as much work, but then laughed at when you say, "Hey, can I get equal or comparable,
right.
pay?" You know
right.
what I mean?
And that we operate out of feelings because we're women,
uh-huh. angry black women,
angry black women, right? And I feel like that is in the workplace. As far as relationships, I feel like. The suffering and persecution in relationships can kind of be mistaken for like, okay, I am submitting in a relationship.
Okay. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And it could, you know what I mean? Like right. you laying down your life or your yeah. beliefs,
uh-huh. mm-hmm.
you know, like mm-hmm. air quotes.
I was about to say they can't see
right.
her, but she's doing
right.
this.
Air quotes for right. like your mate, like,
right.
You know, they matter more. You have to figure out how to submit to them and mm-hmm. you know then you're you know kind of on the back burner as a woman
right.
so I think
right.
As far as I guess I can relate when it's the workplace
okay
I think okay. to me that's the most
that stands out.
Yeah that stands out to me
as far as your experience
excuse me
as what I can relate to
okay Have you ever felt, not necessarily in the mm-hmm. job that you do today,
mm-hmm.
but just being in the workforce, you know, we've been, all three of us, we've been in the workforce since
mm-hmm.
I'm sure we were teenagers,
mm-hmm.
so we've been out there a minute without throwing any of our ages on the table,
mm-hmm.
but to be in the workforce this long, can you think of a time in the past where you can say that you have experienced that?
Well, I will say... Okay, I was working at the movie theater.
My first job ever.
And this may not be, you know, what we're talking about, but I have never forgotten this experience.
Well, then it's worth talking about.
So mm-hmm. I was working at the movie theater with my Uncle Ronald.
Uh-huh.
Skyline,
shout out to Ronald.
Skyline Movie Theater.
Okay.
AMC.
What side? I was going to say, what side?
All of
front
them.
Side
1 through 6,
side?
7 through 12. I worked
okay.
at both of them.
All right, then. Shout out to Skyline.
So I was working there, and I was doing everything I was supposed to be doing, and I ended up training a
uh-huh.
new worker.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I ended up training a new worker. I think his name was Nelson.
Oh, that's good.
We didn't call Nelson out. Nelson, wherever you are.
Yeah, I was.
Shout out to you,
too. I think his name was Nelson.
Okay,
so I trained Nelson. I taught Nelson how to do the concession stand.
Uh-huh.
I mean, everything, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And within a couple of months' time, Nelson was then in the box office.
That's right. I knew what you was going to say.
Nelson became a manager, y'all.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So I was like, wait a minute.
That's
I trained Nelson. Nelson know what to do because I trained him.
Right.
That's right.
Why couldn't you put me in the box office? Or... Why couldn't you make me a manager?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Nelson had the burgundy vest. We're still wearing the black vest.
So,
Nelson was the manager.
Hey, Kavar said, I remember those days. It
come
was
on,
Nelson.
Come on, KP.
It was Nelson.
Nelson, yeah. I trained Nelson.
Okay.
But I was like, wow, what was that?
Now,
was it because Nelson was older? I was younger when it came to like... I guess I wasn't even 20 yet.
Nelson was obviously a man. Nelson was a man.
Nelson was Hispanic.
Okay.
He was older than me. He was older. I don't know if it was an age thing or they was like, you related to Ronald. We ain't giving you no managing position.
So there could have been some other factors.
So I don't know. Here. But that's the only place where I can remember that as a female, I helped a male get where he needed to go. And I was stuck.
At that time, was that your perspective then? Or was it just about the fact that, well, damn, I just trained him and I can't, you know. Did you want to advance? Was that your goal? Or, like, when you saw him promoted, like, what can you remember what it felt like, you know what I'm saying, experiencing that?
So I was like, wow, I wasn't even offered.
Right.
Like, you know, I didn't really want to be.
Which in turn sounds like I wasn't considered.
Right. I didn't really want to be a manager because I'm like, I didn't want to work at a movie theater all my life and be managing. But the offering, it wasn't offered.
Right.
The person, like the very person that trained you.
Right. That should be qualified.
That should be qualified. Right.
Right.
Has helped you become a manager.
Right.
You know, so I didn't want
to
be a manager.
Somebody said, I think I know.
Oh my God. Well, tell Nelson I say hello.
Tell Nelson E-Day said hello. Nelson, and this ain't about him. We glad that he got the advance. You know what I'm saying? This is not about holding Nelson behind.
You ain't being general manager.
We just trying to figure out why E-Day was not considered.
Facts.
And at this point, feeling like it had something to do with the fact that she was a young woman. In that working environment at the time. And not to go off of age and stuff like that, but from today, back then, that looks very different than today.
Right.
Than it does today.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So, because that's all that I can really equate to, like, being overlooked or held back or, like, not even, like, I mean, I didn't suffer. I didn't, I wasn't persecuted, but I felt like maybe being a young woman had something to do with the decisions
they
made.
Sometimes I want to say that, you know, sometimes suffering could be subconscious. You know what I'm saying? Like, granted, we're talking about it today, but you're saying that this stuck with you. So just because you haven't taken it with you in the forefront of your head doesn't mean that that experience didn't plant a seed inside you about what being in the workforce looks like or what the possibilities or capability, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Just based off the,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Your place
in the workplace
here,
and value. Yeah, it may have not done that to you, but it could have planted a seed that over time, who knows, jobs that you may not have considered or, you know, conversations you may have not had in the workplace since just because of an incident like that. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes I feel like the suffering could be subconscious. It doesn't even have to necessarily be something that's, like I said, in the forefront of your head that's kind of driving you, but nonetheless it could happen. So from your standpoint, I definitely want to hear about maybe around, because you're the only mom in the room today, but any other perspective that you got on it as well? What you got for us, Retta?
I mean, I got a couple things. I mean, I can relate to Ebony, like, plain as day. I work for Drug Emporium. Put it out there. For
Drug Emporium.
Like 17 years old to 25. You know, worked in the front office. Started off cashier, worked in the front office, supervised the cashiers and even the pharmacy folks. I asked to go into the management program.
Okay.
Now, I had been there for 5-6 years, however long. And I said, I want to go into the management program. So they took one little lady, you know, older black lady. She had been into the program, and she was assistant.
Okay.
And so I said, I want to go. I want to at least do the cosmetic section and be the manager.
Right.
Overlooked me. Now, this white guy.
Okay.
Not that it mattered, but
we're going to call him Nelson, too. Everybody that we get overlooked for now is going to be called Nelson for the rest of the show.
Right.
So this guy, Nelson, old white dude, got your job.
Right. So he had a little extra flair. He worked.
Shout out to the Nelsons.
He had worked in cosmetics. He had a little flair. Okay. So he, you know, but I'm like, I've been with the company for 6 years.
So basically, Nelson knew cosmetics better.
Cosmetics, right.
Okay.
And he had a little flair. And, you know, maybe more lively.
And knew cosmetics better,
knew cosmetics,
obviously, because
but
of
I
the
went
flair.
To several stores. I traveled all over to all the stores.
Okay.
And provided. And I asked, of course, they just overlooked me, ignored me in like 2 months. Nelson, he's like in the program. I find out, okay, he's now assistant manager, not just over cosmetics, over the whole store. And I'm like,
so Nelson out here growing.
Feelings hurt.
Glowing and growing.
You know, so that stuck with me
for a while
in my work career. I try to let it go. But in your subconscious,
you need another shot?
No, I just make sure. In your mind, like in your subconscious, I mean, honestly, you know, like, well, maybe, you know, I'm not supposed to be.
Right.
My place is down here with the workers.
Yeah. Okay. You know? Okay.
In that aspect. But then, and another side, as far as martyrdom, like as a mother,
mm-hmm.
Just sacrificing yourself or dying to self.
Shout out to all the mothers out there, by the way.
You know, for many reasons, like holding to my beliefs or trying to hold to my beliefs in relationships, or to make sure my children have what they need. Like mm-hmm. I sacrifice myself or with my maid, or if there's confusion in the household,
right.
It's like I just feel like that martyrdom. Like I've one sacrificing myself because of my maid or situations. You know, you wanna
like give me an example submit. without being too, give me an example of what that could look like.
Okay, you have certain standards, morals, values. The way you expect to be treated, expectations for your mate, but they have demands,
uh-huh.
And want you all X, Y, Z. After you've mothered all day, you've worked all day,
uh-huh.
And then there's all these demands from your mate,
right?
And I feel like you're dying to self because self is saying, give yourself self love. You need to rest, pour into yourself,
right.
But then you're still pouring out, and this man not realizing that okay. Maybe I need to rub her feet.
Right.
But I'm like dying to self. I mean, like inside, I'm like really suffering. Like, you know, because I haven't even addressed myself.
Right.
I haven't even washed my face yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Changed my clothes mm-hmm. even. Mm-hmm. And then this man has demands on me. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
But you're still supposed to be there for your
mate. And so who teaches us that? Who teaches us that's, where do you feel like you learned that from? You feel like it's a matter of example. You feel like it's a matter of, you know, kind of what society puts on us. What
I think.
Where do you think we get that from?
To be honest, sometimes it's the older women.
Older like, women. So the
know,
example.
You take care of your man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to take care of your mm-hmm. man and
mm-hmm.
Make sure he has a hot plate and uh-huh. make sure you take care of him good. You know.
And do you remember them ever saying, "Make sure you take care of yourself"?
Never.
I didn't hear it. I got a piece that I wrote about that, and I can't bounce back and forth. So maybe next week, especially since it's April. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I come through with a piece next week. But nonetheless, I wrote this piece that just kind of talked about how, as a woman, you are always raised and expected to be something to someone. You are a sister to a brother. A daughter to a mother,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Cousins to cousins and nieces to aunt, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you're expected to always be catering to someone on the outside of you, and no one is ever really saying, you know, what you should be to yourself. Mm-hmm. Even when you know, we reference church a lot here, so even thinking about the Proverbs 31 woman, most of everything that she did was around catering to everybody on the outside of her. Mm-hmm. And nothing that really, really was edifying her as an individual. You know
That's
what I'm
right.
saying? But I just wonder sometimes, we've talked about it before. I feel like I know in my family, there's a lot of, either a single woman or you're a woman that's been in a relationship damn near all your life and you're going to die out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But there's not a lot of in between. And I wonder if that has a lot to do with the fact that that's been our model, you know what I'm saying, inside our families. You either got people on one side who are saying, oh, hell no, I ain't doing that. You know what I'm saying? You see
what
that looks like from a respect level. You know what I'm saying? It's almost crazy because you would rather, it's almost like they're telling you it's better for you to be in a relationship even if you're going to be abused, even if you're going to be mistreated, mishandled, misguided, you know what I'm saying? It's better to be in a relationship and have companionship and be treated like this than to be alone. And then you got those people that see that and like, oh no, fuck that. I'm not doing that. Right. I would rather be alone than experience that. But what about actually not being alone, but also not being disrespected? You know what I'm saying? Like, where is the median?
Where is that? Where,
right. And how do we get there? Because nobody's teaching us how to actually not be alone and value ourselves enough to have a relationship that's giving us respect.
Right.
All of our examples are, you know, after, you know, when thinking about like my grandmother and stuff like that, you know, I'm sure that my grandmother and my grandfather had issues, but you know, my grandfather and my grandmother, they were married until my grandfather died. Now, I've only known them the way I've known them in the 30-something years that I've been alive. But mind you, they were together 30-something years or more before I even existed. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sure there were all kinds of things that my grandmother probably had to tolerate and deal with at the hands of my grandfather. As much as I love and adore him and smack anybody out around it, you know what I'm saying? I know that there was probably shit with him. You know what I'm saying? Because me, unfortunately, it's always shit with people. But I feel like from those experiences and seeing that as a model, we just get used to it and we just think that that's the way. It's either that's the way it's supposed to be or hell no, I ain't going to be like that. So we have two far extremes and nobody, you know, kind of in the center. And shout out to Grandma, who is now watching. Hey, Grandma.
Hi.
Shout out to you. Thank you for thank you for being a great example, even in the opportunities, you know what I'm saying? You definitely hold this family down, and everybody that knows you loves you, and anybody that don't know you should love you too, if you don't start loving Grandma right now. So anyway, something's happening where they're saying that they cannot hear us. I don't know. It got to be on my live, though. My volume is all the way up, so I don't know what's happening there, guys. I don't know how to fix that. Let me know if you start to hear me, but I mean, I got it on the live and I got my volume all the way up. But what I was going to say is that, so Kapar saying he can't hear either, which is weird. And this is on a whole nother platform. So I'm not sure what's happening. I'm not sure what's happening, guys. But what you can do is tune into the web. If you go to, you're on Instagram, if you go to the, web link that's in the Instagram, in my Instagram link, Facebook Live has volume issues, so that I can't do nothing about. Somebody else is saying they can hear us on IG. So if you can hear us on IG, great, hold there. If not, go to the website. If you go to the website and then go click on our icon for the show, you can listen to it through the website. But anyway, so I started watching them this morning, well, afternoon. Have either of you taken a look at that at all?
So I started the first 10 minutes and I felt like I needed to be more alert. I felt like laying in my bed watching it was not gonna, what I was needed gonna be to night, do. Night? I needed to sit up and watch it.
That's the weird.
Everybody on Facebook, if you can get to Instagram, go to Instagram. They said they could hit it.
Yeah.
Jamie said loud and clear. What's up, brother?
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I need to sit up and watch this. So I watched the first... maybe like 20 minutes because I was dozing. I was like, okay, I'm going to have to turn this off. But I plan on watching it tonight.
Okay.
Because I was very intrigued by just the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. Definitely interesting.
I want your baby.
Yeah, definitely interesting, right?
Chuckling. I'm like, okay,
weird,
what is happening?
Shit, right? So I don't even, I mean, like today, I can't even really like get into that part because then that takes me back to Us and that takes me back to Get Out and all these other things.
Yeah, I feel like it's like all on the same page.
Yeah, all of it is going in the same direction. But because I had already told y'all what the title was going to be, it's almost as if everything that I'm looking at now is drawing into that, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there watching her. The mom. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
they bought a new house and
Right. Yeah. So I'm watching her and every instance I'm seeing a woman who I know is about to be pegged as crazy somehow.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a thing. And I feel like black women are always pegged as crazy. Mm-hmm. They see all of these things before everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like as she was first and foremost, so they're driving there. She's having this vision or whatever snaps out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you got that first. Everybody else cooling. Husband is excited. Kids is with the shits.
Uh-huh.
And she already has this thing about her where she knows something is not right and something is not going to go well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Ain't been to this place yet. Ain't seen none of these people.
Mm-hmm.
But something innately is saying... Nah, I don't know why we're doing this. But yet, here she is doing it. And he's asking her, are you happy? Are you excited? Whatever. And naturally, she's going to fall in line. Yes, I'm with the shits, right? So then they finally get there. And, you know, all he can see is what he's accomplished. What he's doing for his family. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that he's been able to get them out of this environment that he wants to save them from. So he gets to play his savior role. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And whatever that is, that's being perpetuated. He's good, you know, feeling like a man and doing this thing for his family. And still, you can feel that eerie thing happening with her. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? With every take. You know, she's observing everything. She's seeing all the things that he ain't seeing. Mm-hmm. She looks out and sees how all the neighbors are looking at them. And I could tell that when he looks out and he sees it, he sees something totally different.
Mm-hmm. All the, you know, white neighbors.
Right.
White female.
He sees all the white female neighbors that he waves at.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she looks out and is looking at them, another woman, two other women. And yet, she does not feel that comfort to be able to wave like that. As a matter of fact, she understands that she didn't just stepped into Schitt's Creek. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? She may not know exactly what that is.
Right.
But nonetheless, she could feel it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And as it continues to go, it's almost like she ends up being the person who has to, I feel like, in just the episodes that I saw, because from that first one, when she's sitting there with the gun and loading you know, she's already assuming the role of who's going to have to protect this family. Mm-hmm. Husband sleep, kids sleep, she's aware of what's going on outside, you know, she's thinking forward about what has to happen next. And it's making her look crazy right here in this moment, like right now.
Wow.
She and mind you, there's people literally standing outside her house. And yet, as you're watching it, you feel like she's crazy. You don't feel like the people that's standing outside her house is crazy. You feel like that's weird, but you also feel like that's normal.
Wow.
You expect them to be outside doing that shit that they do because that's that shit that they do.
Right.
And she's sitting in the house, woman, sitting there loading a gun in a dark room. So she looks like she is the crazy one out to deal. And as the episodes, as the next episode continues, you know, she's paying attention to all these different things and it's spiraling her out of control. You could tell that there's probably some, you know, mental health issues or something like that going on. But I think to myself, how many women end up appearing to themselves to have emotional or mental distress because of all the things that they have to carry and see. You know what I'm saying? On a day-to-day basis, that you got the amount of multitasking, if you will, that a woman, and I can only speak to black women because that's who's here. So anybody else, we're not leaving you out. We just ain't talking about you because you ain't here. But nonetheless, all the things that you got to do, if you're a mother and you work and you're a wife and, you know, you're a daughter and you got all these things going on, all of these many things that you got two hands and yet you expected to do five times what everybody else is expected to do, all the while giving nothing to yourself, then how do you not end up looking crazy? I mean, how do you end up anywhere other than on the crazy wheel? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's the part that's, like, alarming to me. And the picture was being painted so clearly to me as I'm watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could feel her anguish. You know what I'm saying? And nobody else sees it. So then there's a scene, you know, not to, you know, if you watch it later or anybody else that hasn't seen it yet, but there's a scene where, you know, they encounter the police. Police come to the house or whatever. And because of what I'm going to say being politically correct would look like, you know, she seems like a crazy black woman that's emotionally distressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so her husband says to the, I guess, the highest official police officer, you know, like, yeah, she's been going through a lot, but we're going to get her together. You know, we're going to get her together as soon as we can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and obviously she's hearing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So not only is she hearing it about herself, her kids are hearing you say that.
Mm-hmm. Right. She's hearing it from her husband.
She's hearing it from her husband.
Right.
You know, and it's being said to someone else, another man, a white man, with these other two white men that were just in the house almost terrorizing his family.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, well, damn, like, I feel like it,
Like, you're supposed to be my safe haven. Right. You're supposed to be my protector, right. Not put me out there like that.
But it goes back to the fact that she was the protector, because she was the one that was sitting at the table.
With the gun.
With the gun, loading the bullets.
Provider.
Being everything that everybody else gets a title for, going back to what you said about training Nelson. So you don't get the title for training Nelson. Mm-hmm. You don't get the, you know, appreciation and accolade and, you know, all of that for having done it. But Nelson gets that from you, and yet Nelson gets to walk away with the title, the job, the promotion, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. All the while she's sitting here, she's just a crazy black woman. You know what I'm saying? For the sake of her family, because that's all she really cares about. She's not sitting there loading a gun for herself.
Right.
She's sitting there loading a gun for her husband. As soon as the door opened, what they worried about? How the police about to treat her husband. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She's sitting there with her arms with her kids, holding her kids. She's not sitting there holding herself, worried about. Even in that moment when she is, quote unquote, looking crazy, she looking crazy. And the only thing that I could tell she's thinking about is how they're going to get through this experience for the sake of her children and her husband. So even in that moment, she out on the limb and she's still not thinking about herself.
Right.
And that's just what I feel like black women do every single day. Every single day of their lives. Like, for me, personally, I feel like, you know, I don't have kids. I'm no longer married. You know what I'm saying? So, that's not really a concern of mine. But I will say, growing up, you know, just being a woman inside a family full of men, I feel like in our family, and I hope nobody takes this wrong out there, but I do feel like our family is built in a way where all of the focus is put into the males. You know what I mean? And making sure that males get everything that they need, you know. It's something about mothers and their sons and how that pans out. And I feel like I experienced that a lot, you know what I'm saying, inside of our family. So while I do know and believe that my mother loved me, of course, I do feel like the things that were going on with my brothers were always things that were more important than the things that I physically had going on right here. My brothers are out and gone and, you know, wherever they are at that time. And nonetheless, the focus is on them somehow, or something else. You know what I'm saying? If it wasn't that, then it was the church. If it wasn't the church, then it was a job. But it was always something. And I'm not saying that's because I'm female. I'm just saying that having been female and living in that experience, I often felt like I found myself somewhere at the bottom of all these lists. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so that's one of the experiences that I could say that I feel like I've had and that I feel like I've seen perpetuated over time just inside our family. So you growing up, it wasn't a lot of you when you were younger, a lot of girls when you were younger. You had more male cousins?
So like Nina's my oldest female cousin.
Uh-huh.
And I had a lot of male cousins.
Right.
But
did that look different or did it look the same to you?
To me, like, they were, like, we all were on the, like, on an even playing field. Like, they, when I looked at my male cousins, I was like, wow, like, these are like my brothers that I didn't have.
Right.
But I will say, like, once they got older, they were able to do things that I wouldn't dare be able to do.
Correct.
Like,
yeah.
Have a...
Or even be considered for.
Right. Like, their girlfriend could live with them.
Right.
Yeah.
With...
Right here.
With their mom.
In the crib. Right here, right now.
We couldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's right.
That wasn't happening in female, you know, home. But
the
girlfriend is a female living, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like...
And why do you think that is? Why do you think that a choice like that was being made?
I don't know. I don't.
Have you ever considered it? Like, did it upset you? Even here's the thing. A lot of times, you don't even want that shit.
No, it didn't upset me.
You don't have somebody
me.
You want to bring here.
Right. I noticed it, but I was like, wow. Like, I mean, I do think that my aunt, who had, boys for, kids, they thought differently than my mother.
Right.
Who had two females.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I can't really speak on
why
that was allowed. Maybe it was because of how they raised their son to take care of their women.
If that's the
I don't
case,
know.
Then, do you feel like as much as Patty wouldn't have let a dude come live with you, how do you feel like Patty would have responded to you going to live with a dude?
She probably
would have acted the same way.
I don't think she would mind.
You think she would have been okay with that? Follow us up.
Maybe, yeah, I think so. I think so.
All right. Well, we might ask Patty one day.
Are you on Patty?
Patty, are you out there? Patty, are you out there?
I don't know. I think she...
Shout out to Greg, Donnell, and Andre. Yes. KP says, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. And they took care... Like, I'm telling you, they took care of their women. Like, my mother would be wrapping, like, the Christmas gifts. Like, it would be, like, TVs.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm like, wow, they are, like... And me looking at that, like, oh, my gosh, like... I'm going to get a boyfriend.
That's what I'm about to say.
Buy me a TV, like too. Like, they were... Yeah. That's yeah. So, yeah. It's kind of different. Like, I looked up to them.
But you do still feel like they were treated different in the experience.
I felt like were they were allowed to do.
Yeah.
And what kind of age difference are we talking? Same age? Couple years?
So, they... Okay, like... Like, they're a lot older than me. They're like I'm 46. They're in their 50s now.
Looking like 26.
So they were able to, like, in their, like, mid-20s, they were able to, like, have their girlfriend live with them, you know, like, in the basement or whatever. Right, yeah. And it wasn't an issue. It wasn't a, yeah.
Well, I think that might just be around the fact that, I mean, coming from where we come from, the idea is that a man is going to take care of a woman.
Right, that's what I was saying.
You know what I'm saying? So,
right, I don't feel like.
So for them, they're young downstairs, men. Right, downstairs is their own living environment.
Yeah, like a little man cave. And they are taking that on. Whatever.
You know what I'm saying? But I will say, like, certain things that, not even going that deep into it, just around... You know, the kind of places I was able to go. I mean, if I wanted to go to the park, that was literally two houses away from my grandmother's house. Right. You know, I'm at an all-time war about whether or not I could do that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they can go and be up and out all night, all day, and it didn't matter. And I guess that's around safety and stuff like that. But still, I got to say that, hands down, I don't take it back, that I feel like the experience is much different. And it's... In many ways, it's almost been oppressive. You know what I'm saying? Like, in many ways, it's almost been oppressive around what it is that a woman is expected to do, be, and experience just to exist in the world inside of our family. And that's just based off of the examples that I'm seeing, especially by me being... a lesbian woman in a family, you know what I'm saying? At a lot of times, I feel like people would have accepted me being straight, you know what I'm saying? So with a man, that nigga could have been knocking my head in. I could have been doing all the work, paying all the bills, you know what I'm saying? Just running babies in and out of me and wearing me all the way down. And that would be okay as long as I align myself with that one thing that makes sense to them. Mm-hmm. Versus being a lesbian, dealing with somebody that loves me, values me, appreciates me, that's going to nurture me as much as I nurture them, cater to me as much as I cater to them. Mm-hmm. And none of that, all of that's going to be dismissed just simply because it doesn't align with the expectation. You know what I'm saying? Like, unfortunately, I've just seen a lot of women being... broken down to bite size, you know what I'm saying, just to exist. I was just somewhere last weekend and really celebrating, you know, one of my cousins, because once you, and no names necessary, but if you watching, shout out to you. Like, I can't say it enough how much, you know, I celebrate you and admire a willingness to make a change around something that everybody else may deem to be the right thing, but... You know, it's killing you, and it's not softly. It's not that kind. It's the kind that's sucking the life out of you. You know what I'm saying? Got you on meds, got you anxious, got you not sleeping, not eating or eating too much. You know what I'm saying? Not doing any of the things that you need to be doing for yourself, like you said, Retta, and giving back to yourself, all just so that you can cater to other people and being in alignment with some idea.
Right.
That everybody else thinks is the right thing to do, even if it makes you feel bad, even if it makes you feel sick.
Right.
And then I feel like that's why women end up having what people consider like midlife crises and shit, because you spend the first part of your life trying to figure out who you gonna be to somebody. You know what I'm saying? It's all about getting married, you know what I'm saying, becoming a mother, having kids and all that. That's what people ask you. They don't care about, maybe now, you know what I'm saying, in today's environment, being independent and working and stuff like that is important and what you're doing for yourself. But there's a time where, you know, people start asking you questions and all they want to know is, well, when you getting married? When you going to bring somebody home? When you going to have some babies? You know what I'm saying? And all the while, they're not asking the dudes that. You know what I'm saying? It's all about the job, the money, you know what I'm saying, the flash, the fly.
That's right.
But that shit is sad, man, to spend that part of your life doing that. And then all of a sudden, one day you wake up and you're like, well, damn, did I do anything that I wanted to do? Did I go anywhere, you know, that I wanted to go? Mind you, I don't have kids and stuff right now, but I hadn't traveled. You know, the amount of the way I'm enjoying traveling today, you know what I'm saying? I can't say I did in the last 13 years, and why is that? Why? I'm working hard, I'm slaving, trying to figure out how I'm going to take care of people other than myself and align myself with other things that other people got going on, even at work, don't want to take off, and, you know, don't want to do this, don't want to do that, you know what I'm saying, just so that I could be fueling either someone else's dreams or, you know, catering to somebody else's emotionality and not doing stuff for my own self without having kids and all these responsibilities. So, I mean, I feel for... you know, the women out there that actually have all of those things plus themselves that are in need and all of that stuff being put on the back burner just to make it make sense.
I'm gonna tell
you got something for that, Retta?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, and once you, like, I don't know, come to the realization, it's like, dang, I didn't sacrifice my life. I died to self daily, every second, you know what I mean? For half my life. And then once you just stop, really... it's almost like you're a babe. You're a babe in this thing. It's like, how do I even do this?
You only, it's like you're learning how to do everything all over again.
What is it that I like? Do I even know what I like? You know, what are my preferences? You know, it's like you just have to retrain yourself.
The relearning.
Like unlearning. Relearning. Like, at a whole nother level because you really, you didn't die to self so much. You don't even have... an existence so much. So as far as the essence of who you are has been lost. You know? So
it's crazy.
That's what I feel like I had to really had to pour. And when I said that last week, pouring into myself and just like being vulnerable and just like sitting with myself, what do I like? You know, how do I want to look? I'm looking at fashions. I'm looking at hair. I'm looking at makeup. I went into myself and was like, you know, I do want to look nice. You know, I want to get a man. I want to, you know, but what do I want for myself? I started at what I want for myself. You know what I mean? Not things external, but, you know, what's going to make me happy. And from the job to the men to the way I wanted to look, just really, I had to like redo the whole thing, unlearn and relearn because.
And it's a constant thing. I think we were talking about it before, and I always say this about the whole thing around Adam and Eve, right? You know what I'm saying? So I feel like, you know, Eve was made for Adam, you know what I'm saying? And now Adam is, she has kind of solved a problem for Adam. But what really was made for Eve? I feel like there was no circling back around and saying, okay, so we fulfilled Adam, and Adam's good, and he's happy. You know what I'm saying? So what are we going to create for Eve to make sure that Eve's happy? I feel like Eve was the means to an end. You know what I mean? And then once we got there, now Eve just is here to fulfill everybody else. And just even in that model, there was nothing there that was for Eve. And I feel like that's how you could end up, you know, being tempted by a serpent with some... other thing that's out there that you don't know anything about, some glamorous thing, just simply because you don't have anything for you. You know what I'm saying? So as soon as something is shown and presented to you, it's like, wow, you just really? You're just going to take it. You know what I'm saying? And end up in a whole bunch of jams just because you don't have anything sitting right here. All the while, you specifically made for this, and this person right here barely wants you to. You know what I'm saying? And want any version of you that they could find. That's don't even value. Don't even value enough for you to be the end all, be all that you was created to be. All the while nothing was created for you.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's how we end up constantly in that search, constantly in that fight of figuring out who we are, trying to figure out how to rebuild who we supposed to be. Because who are we supposed to be other than who we supposed to be to somebody else? Based off of just that alone, the beginning of time.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
And then funny thing, once you start figuring that thing out, it's like, okay, you know, I am the goddess. You
Absolutely.
Know? I am that I am, so right. to speak. You follow me? And, you know, say, you know, I am going to stand up and do for me. And, you know, sorry, you know, not being, what's the word, dismissive to people or what have mm-hmm. you. But it's right. like, it's my time. Excuse me. But, right. You know, if you're not about positive energies and positive, you know, reinforcements or whatever, if you're not going where I'm going, this is my route. Yeah, you know mm-hmm. I mean, I really don't have no
and
words.
Then you still end up being the bad guy for that. After all,
I'm about to say, yeah. you get looked down upon, right. or you get looked at as if she what's the word? She's snobby, or she ain't got something, right. or whatever. They look down on right. you for
wanting
making
for yourself.
Choices uh-huh. for yourself, and yep. like saying, "I'm not dealing with this energy."
Right,
sorry,
right.
and I'm not dealing with that right. energy because I choose not to.
Right,
that's not mm-hmm. you know that's not gonna coincide with what I got going on. So mm-hmm. You know, we good.
Basically. I wonder how we turn the
but
tide.
People look at you funny, and then they you do. Become that crazy black woman. Oh, she
Absolutely.
A bee, or she just crazy, mm-hmm. or she just lonely. Or
man
she just,
hating,
right?
You
bashing,
know,
man male bashing, bashing.
You know what I'm saying?
Whatever. It's like, nah, I'm about me right now. And if you ain't about the upliftment of me, if it, you know, me uplifting myself,
right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting conversation,
but
lady.
Still yeah. sacrificing to self because yeah, I want to. You know, I want. Camaraderie and friendship, relationship,
yeah.
you know, but even in that, sacrificing to that because they want you to be something other than yourself or
yeah.
just you wanting to be, you know, find out who you are and mm-hmm. walk in
right.
that people
yeah.
in male and female alike.
Right.
You get pushback from
Oh, yeah,
people.
I was about to say, I
you
mean, even
mean?
In even
so
in same-sex
like,
relationships, you experience the same thing. I think I saw Kapara saying, you know, even, you know, from a man's perspective, you know, sometimes you experience that also mm-hmm. as well. And I got what Ray of Sunshine saying. I was very fortunate to find the husband that I have. He is very supportive. And I'm glad that, you know, I get to read that because I don't want anybody to think that the conversation that we're having is around men being one
oh,
way.
Yeah, nah.
I don't even think there's women out here to be one way. I think really the conversation is just women and understanding all the responsibilities that they have and the ways to which they lay down themselves. That's still a decision to make. And I think mm-hmm. that's what it really comes back to. It comes
right.
back to the fact that
it's
how
a choice.
Do we start to,
right.
you know, rewrite that in a way so that your daughter and, you know, the kids that you're around every day and the
yep.
kids I'm around every day, how do we lead by example in a way
that's
that
right.
they don't end up growing up having the exact same narrative because they feel like that's what we showed them because of what we feel like our parents and our grandparents
That's right.
showed us because we're mm-hmm. all doing it by choice.
Mm-hmm.
We're letting people treat yeah. us a certain way,
yeah.
you know, and accepting certain things, overworking ourselves, exhausting
mm-hmm.
ourselves because we feel like we have to do said
right.
things. We feel
right.
and we feel like if we don't do that, then we're going to be at a loss.
Right.
So we're willing to lay ourselves down so that everybody stays in line and stuff like that. But what is a way that we can have that conversation with ourselves and with others so that we kind of change the narrative around that? So maybe we'll get back to that, you know, next
mm-hmm.
week and kind of build on this conversation
mm-hmm.
a little bit more, have a week to talk about it amongst ourselves and maybe,
yeah.
you know, in our own personal worlds and then think about it and then come back with some extra you know, ideas and perspectives around. I think this is actually a great conversation
yeah.
to be having because I feel like this is an everyday thing. So, but we're going to wrap this show up. Like I said, we got started late. So thanks to the studio for letting us hang out a little bit longer. We actually borrowed some cups from one of the other shows. So shout out to
Conversation on the Rocks.
Thank you for leaving some red cups around. Got the solos.
Solo
we was able to have some Jose in here before we got cranked up.
Ooh.
Probably shouldn't have done that. Got E-Day sweating. got Reddit spilling shit. Me off the smiles. You know what I'm saying? So I'm the
Ooh.
Only one that can handle it. Handling it nonetheless. But yeah, we'll be back at it next week on Sunday at 5 p.m. Hold me to it, guys. Beat me up at 4 o'clock. Make sure I'm here at 5. But before we go, we're going to end with our affirmation,
okay.
As always.
We're going to do it together.
Are we going to do it together?
Yes,
we're
going to
try
are.
It. I'm going to be slightly behind you like
That's
I was
okay.
so I can catch up. All right, what is it?
I have a healthy body, heart, and soul, and mind.
I have a healthy heart, body, soul, and mind.
I am full of
I am
positive.
Full of positive.
I am full of positive.
And nourishing
thoughts.
Thoughts.
I knew that.
Where are we?
Communion is a place that we come to unite with those around us.
Yes.
Come on.
We are here.
I am here.
No, we ain't there yet. I know we're not grounded.
We are grounded and present in this experience.
I am here and I am whole. That's it.
We're practicing that this week.
We're gonna be in sync.
I feel like we say it all in our own way.
Because
you gotta get it.
But just to be able to say it in that way. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna make sure that we on point next week.
And saying it in that way.
And I posted it on our Instagram and I posted it on our Facebook page. So each of you guys got it. Make sure that you're saying it as well and reinforcing that, affirming it in your own lives. And we'll be back to y'all next week, Sunday, 5 p.m. Communion.
Peace.
Communion. Peace.